This is talk show host Charles Goyette, author of The Dollar Meltdown, and you are in for a real treat now. We get an opportunity to spend a few minutes with Edward Gonzalez. Edward Gonzalez is running for Congress in California's 16th Congressional District, a district in and around San Jose, and he has a few minutes to spend with us talking a little bit about his campaign. But the reason I describe this as being a real treat, he has a life experience that opened his eyes in a way that most of us, we hope, shouldn't have to have our eyes open. Ed Gonzalez, good to talk to you. Thank you for being with us on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you went to Argentina when you were in college, huh?
I did.
What happened there?
Well, I arrived in the fall, 2001, to what appeared to me to be a prosperous and thriving country and economy. When I left in December, the country and the economy were in absolute shambles. In December, after years of deficit spending and money printing to cover it up, the Argentine government finally defaulted on its debt. And they also unpegged the Argentine peso, which had been artificially linked to the U.S. dollar. I watched prices quadruple in a period of less than 3 weeks. Families begging for food on the streets, large crowds of people storming grocery stores to get at the food they could no longer afford, and general street riots were all part of my experience.
Well, that'll make an Austrian economist out of you, won't it?
Certainly did.
Yeah. So for those who don't understand, what was to blame for the turmoil that you lived through there?
Economic ignorance, deficit spending, money printing, creation of money out of thin air, and then an artificial system which had kept the Argentine peso artificially high for too long, and when it was finally uncoupled from the dollar, all of the money printing essentially took hold, and prices skyrocketed in a very short period of time. What happened next was that actually the Argentine government, in order to try to control the situation, froze bank accounts, seized people's savings to include life savings that were held in U.S. dollars, and then paid them back months later and devalued Argentine pesos. Basically, what was happening leading up to the actual crisis was that before it became really international, before any news people were talking about it, it was getting out on the streets. So everywhere you went, people were trying to get rid on the street of their Argentine pesos and exchange them for U.S. dollars, which is what they saw as a stable currency at the time. And there was a flood out of it. When people started going into their bank accounts and trying to send money out of the country, get out of Argentine pesos, that's when the real collapse happened. And that's also a little bit later when the government finally stepped in and seized people's bank accounts.
I've read accounts of the Weimar Republic inflation, and frequently people comment about how quickly this all seemed to have appeared.
Yes, it did. People were discussing it. Lots of intellectuals were talking about it, saying there's a problem. There's been this artificial peg. The Argentine peso is overvalued. When this all comes to a head, there's going to be a real crisis. And most people didn't care. They didn't want to listen. They just went about living their lives. And then it happened literally in the space of just a couple of weeks.
Well, you've had a pretty dramatic new millennium. That was in 2001 as a student that you went to Argentina. It was not too many years thereafter that you went to Iraq as a Marine Corps officer. Tell us a little bit about your experiences there.
Well, I went to Iraq twice, the first time as an infantry officer in charge of a platoon. The second time I went back as a senior lieutenant, I was an advisor and trainer to Iraqi security forces. So I was in the Al-Anbar province along the Euphrates River, going into agrarian villages, farming and fishing villages, training the Iraqi army, the police, the local security forces that were there. It became very evident to me within the first month that we could go on and fighting insurgents forever, but until these local economies got off the ground, there wouldn't be any real recovery. So it became very apparent more than 50% of our work had to be focused on helping the economy recover. And when I say help, I don't mean in the big government Keynesian way help. What also became evident to all the Marines is that whenever Marine groups or whenever American groups tried to influence the economy by spending, by coming up with make-work programs that stimulated, if you will, the economy, the results were always very good in the short term, but the second the American forces stopped spending money, the second they stopped essentially enabling this economy, these small local economies, everything would crash around them. And all of the work that they thought they'd been doing for 6 months, it not only didn't work, it made the situation worse because it created distortions within local economies. One of the best examples I can give you is creating a garbage service out of nowhere. Americans were paying Iraqis in American dollars to pick up garbage. No one really wanted to do it, but they thought this would be a great thing. We'll put people back to work. We'll get the economy going again. We'll have them all pick up garbage. But those young men had previously been farming, been fishing, so now they weren't doing those things which were part of the natural part of the local economy. They were pulled away from those productive jobs, put into something that really wasn't productive, at least at that point, for that local economy. And the second that the American spending stopped, obviously those young men weren't getting paid. They hadn't been developing their fishing boats, their nets, any of their farming equipment. So the economy was worse off than when we had started.
Well, I have gotten a better education on the dislocations in Iraq from you in 5 minutes than I've gotten from a year of watching the reporting on TV or reading about it in the New York Times or the Washington Post. Why isn't this real-life living experience of people, such as you've described, why doesn't it seem to penetrate to those in charge of designing the mission as a whole?
Well, you know, I can't say that it doesn't penetrate. You know, the Marines were extremely successful in Al Anbar. For all of the mistakes that we made in the first couple years that we were there, what I just talked about, essentially having a hands-off approach to the economy, not creating distortions within their economy, simply protecting essentially against attacks, protecting their lives, protecting their property rights, and allowing their local economies to develop and flourish on their own was exactly the tactic that we used. And the only proactive approach that we took essentially was training their security forces so that they could keep up with the defense, keep up with the security once the Marines pulled out. Now, when I went into my local area as an advisor, there was 3 battalions operating in the area. When I left 6 months later, we only had to keep one there, and the Iraqis were taking over the rest. And the economies were starting to flourish. They took over their own security, and the natural economies of these villages were really starting to grow. So certainly made lots of mistakes in the Al Anbar province, but we did eventually get it right, and it did lead to improvements down the road. And the Marines have essentially completely pulled out from all the proactive things that they're doing in Anbar, and we simply have small bases that are supporting the Iraqi securities that's now in the area.
We're speaking with Edward Gonzalez, running for Congress in California's 16th Congressional District in the San Jose area. You have a longstanding incumbent, Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren, there. Is she somebody that can be toppled in this election?
You know, in any other year, probably not, but 2010 is very different. Whether you're talking about Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, or Green, I think the majority of people have realized that the federal government is out of control. They're overstepping their bounds, and they are spending way too much money that's eventually going to bankrupt us. Zoe Lofgren is big government to the extreme. She talks nothing about cutting spending, only talks about making sure that we continue all of the entitlement programs that we currently have and possibly expanding them more. I don't think she gets it. I think the American people do. So 2010, yes, she absolutely can be toppled.
Mm-hmm. Does the Federal Reserve and Ron Paul's movement to audit the Fed and hopefully end it too, has that become an issue in the campaign in the 16th district?
It's certainly important for me and a lot of other people. I think that the worries of possible inflation and looking at the Federal Reserve balance sheet is waking up more and more people to the dangers of the massive inflation that we might one day face. I think that personal danger of watching your life savings erode is waking up more and more people to not only possibly auditing the Fed in the future, but also hopefully abolishing it one day.
Mm-hmm. A couple of the other people we've had conversations with who are like you running for office to bring the new wind that we would like to blow through to restore our prosperity and our liberty have suggested that their experiences with the Tea Party haven't been entirely good because the Republican establishment, the party establishment, has been moderately successful at co-opting it and bringing it under the umbrella of the old ways of doing things and the old ways of politics. Has that been the case in the San Jose area?
In Silicon Silicon Valley, no. You know, the head of the Tea Party movement was thinking about running for Congress, and he met me running as a libertarian, and he decided that that he was going to just concentrate on the Tea Party. He likes me a lot. He fully supports the things that I talk about. We have libertarians that showed up to the Tea Party event yesterday. We had obviously a lot of Republicans. We even had members of the Green Party show up, who I met with just a couple weeks ago, who, for all of their left-leaning tendencies, also agree that the federal government has also gotten out of control and needs to be reined back in.
Well, I did see, I think, on your website that you're running as a libertarian Republican. Is that correct? Is that it, or just?
I'm running on the libertarian ticket. There is currently no Republican running against me.
I see.
That made it on the ballot. There might be some Republican write-ins, but on the ballot, there's only the incumbent Democrat and myself, a libertarian.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've sure got some life experiences that would be valuable in the halls of Congress. Anybody that's lived through the turmoil that you lived through in Argentina has got to have at least a clearer idea of where we may be headed in this country. And I think we ought to spend a minute in closing about what the prospects are for the United States economy if we don't make some very, very dramatic changes.
Well, people say that what happened in Argentina could never happen here in the United States. And you know, I politely and certainly firmly disagree with them. It's just a matter of math. If you continue to create trillions of dollars out of thin air, you're going to eventually get massive amounts of inflation. The other thing that you're going to do is, depending on where you spend it, you're going to distort the capital structure of this economy. There's going to be all sorts of malinvestments. There's going to be people putting money in places that they shouldn't. And when the bust finally occurs, whether it's in a massive credit crunch and deflation or the massive inflation, which is probably going to occur, you're going to have all sorts of businesses, all sorts of people become bankrupt because they're investing their money, their businesses, their time in the wrong places.
Well, a currency crisis is certainly not a very pleasant event. Edward Gonzalez, our guest, the webpage, by the way, is edwardmgonzalez.com, and it's GONZALEZ with a final Z. EdwardMGonzalez.com for his webpage. Edward, thank you very much for visiting with us, and best of luck to you in the race.
Thank you so much for having me.
Edward Gonzalez, one more time. The web address is EdwardMGonzalez with a final Z. GONZALEZ. EdwardMGonzalez.com. Thanks to our guest, and thanks to Freedoms Phoenix, freedomsphoenix.com, for the use of their studios for these conversations. I'm Charles Goyette.